Thank you, Gary. Going up and blow out the pipe speaking. Now you can hear? Good. Thanks for doing that. I have to remember that I was at a different place than they speak the glory to you, O Lord. I forget where I am sometimes, and so I'm glad you came in because, oops, they sing it here. I forgot. So that's what you're stuck with when I'm here. Well, Hebrews is where we're at. As you know, I think this is second Sunday, and I think I got three more with Pastor Dave when I get back. Well, to me, in the reading today, a couple things stand out. And one of them is that Christ learned obedience through suffering. He learned to obey through suffering. And we learned about being a sympathizer, someone who has compassion. Maybe you know somebody who has the great and wonderful disposition of compassion. We also learned the second important thing from this text is that Jesus went through testing, but he didn't sin, the text says. 16 years ago, I went through chemotherapy and I did not ask why me, because as a pastor, I saw many people, wonderful people, who suffered worse things. And I remembered Jesus and what he went through. And I remembered how with grace he made it through. So I always said, why not me? Have you ever felt that people are waiting for you to goof up? Jesus has been there. Did you ever have a friend we'd say stab you in the back, betray you in some way? Jesus has been there. Have you ever had a need and just nobody was there? Jesus has been there. We saw that in that prayer of the day also as it was prayed. And please pay attention to the hymn, I Want to Walk with Jesus, as Gary plays it, especially the second and the third verse, because they are exactly what today's text and my message is all about. Compassion means to be there when others are going through tough times. In Latin, it means commas with passion, or love. It means have or go with love, with passion to somebody who needs it. And that's what literally the word means in Latin. So maybe you've gone through a tough time. Some point. Maybe you know somebody right now who's going through a tough time. And maybe you know somebody who has gone through a tough time, but they did it not screaming and yelling. Maybe they did it first, but they had the very confident faith that Christ was walking with them. And that's what that whole Hebrews is about. The high priest is Jesus. He's been there. He knows what we're walking through because he's had walked there first. I wear a wristband that says, it's okay not to be okay. Have hope. And at the ER last week, a woman was reading it. I said, would you like that? She says, I need that. I need hope. She says, oh, I'll pay you. No. But that's the only one. No, I got 25 at home. I give them out often. It's okay not to be okay. Christ has been there. I am not emotionally built to do relative's funeral. I have done a few weddings, the wedding to my two sons and that, but I got a phone call in March of last year that my aunt, who I'd spent a lot of time with, she and her husband, who had died earlier, on their farm, because I worked on the farm as a kid. And they said, both, my cousin called, said, both mom's pastors are gone. Would you be willing to do a funeral? My wife is sitting in the chair next to me. She said, you have to do it. Okay, I'll do it. Now, she's a woman who, like my cousin who called me, has severe rheumatoid arthritis. My poor cousin, at the age of 25 or so, she had graduated from nursing school, couldn't nurse anymore because her hands couldn't do the needles and all that stuff. Well, her mom had it really bad, and her grandmother had it really bad. But my aunt, she ultimately had to go to a care center, and she fell a couple times there and broke bones in her back. And from what I understand from my cousin, it was just unbearable, unbearable pain. And yet, we didn't see her but once a year. Every time we went to see her, there was coffee and cookies and bars. She's used to being a farm wife who did that kind of thing as a hostess. So I decided, because she didn't complain, even when we called her on the phone, she never complained about how she hurt. I decided to make the theme of my sermon, she didn't get bitter, she got better. She didn't get bitter, she got better. That's what the Hebrews text says. Jesus learned obedience through suffering. The word obedience, the Latin term means, odire, means to listen. Christ listened to others, Christ listened to God the Father. So think of how you have grown in your life in the Lord. What is it that you went through that just changed your life forever? When I thought about that, okay, if I'm preaching, I have to preach to myself first. That's a tough part. I decided, what has changed me? And I decided there were four significant events that really had an impact on me. 1975, a teenager in my congregation was going over 100 miles an hour, went into the back end of a car. Senior in high school, I'm sure she would have been homecoming queen. It happened in August after school started. And I got the phone call, went to the ER, and what I saw gave me nightmares later. So it's God's sense of humor that for 5 years, I'm doing something I thought I would never do. I'm an ER chap. I see a lot of stuff. Because of what I went through, it helps me go through what I go through now. Well, because of that event, and I spent, I was about 4 years into my pastor, and I spent so much time with the family. I went through the grief with them, which was a mistake, and I went into a depression because I'd been working 80 hours a week developing a congregation. We didn't even have a building for a couple of years. You do. You just shut down. Well, little did I know as I stayed in that congregation, because I thought, I can't be a pastor if I'm this way. But guess what? In that congregation, I was there 21 years. By far, the most counseling I did was depression counseling. And I'm a total optimist. And people were shocked that I went through that. But again, it was workaholism and that event and what I saw in the nightmares, and I couldn't sleep. Again, through obedience and trusting somehow God's going to get me through this, I had to take a month off. It helped prepare me for what I'd be doing a lot of in my ministry. I found out from a counselor friend I could have been a full-time counselor because of the amount of people. I was living in a place where there was a lot of stress. That was causing most of it. The third thing that had a great impact on my life was April 20th, 1999. I wasn't that far away from Columbine. You all remember the massacre there. But the interesting thing, I mean, my congregation and confirmation, we discussed it the next night, and everybody seemed to know somebody who knew somebody who was a student there. But within a few days, a senior in high school, I was in a different state in Colorado, one of my seniors became paralyzed for life from the waist down, skiing moguls at Breckenridge. So one of the two best or three best hospitals you go to in the United States, Chicago had one of them, you go to Craig Hospital, just south of Denver, for closed-end injuries and spinal cord injuries. And there I met a 30-something woman who was completely paralyzed. And she had been a ballerina at one time, rolled her car in the mountains. And we became brothers and sisters. The moment we met, she couldn't even talk. But ultimately, she started a foundation called the Magic Dance Foundation for people with spinal cord injuries. Someday I need to tell you, but I'm not doing it today, the rest of that story. Then I've already alluded to the fourth thing that happened in 2003. I was diagnosed, going through the emergency room and having surgery a day and a half later with colon cancer, and I went through 22 chemo treatments. Now, I had sat with some people who asked if I could sit with them going through the first chemo treatments, but I couldn't really understand what that was like. And 7 years later, for 4 years, I'm the chaplain in a cancer center. And the reason why I'm still not there is they hired somebody, so I moved to the ER. Wow. All of those are things I wouldn't wish on anybody. But for me, they helped me to be more with love for people, more of what it says Jesus does. He can sympathize, empathize, show compassion, because he's gone through so much himself. So indeed, we learn from our experiences by the grace of God. Jesus learned. And it reminded us from what he went through that he was fully human. We have that interesting, crazy concept. He's fully God and fully human. That doesn't sound possible. It is what we believe. How Jesus meets us where we're at. And I don't know if I've shared before, everybody should have an elevator speech. One sentence to share your faith. If you don't have enough time, mine is God meets us where we are at. That's it. 7 words or less. Sometimes I add, my English teacher would say you can't end with a preposition. God meets us where we are. Because to me, starting from the creation story to the story of Jesus Christ coming to be one of us, he meets us where we are. You have a prayer chain here, right? Yeah. It's busy, right? My wife's on two at former churches. You know, a pastor has to kind of stand back, so she gets all the prayer chain and gives it to me, and we're both on the prayer chain in our church here in Elgin. And there's so much there asking for people to be comforted, to be cured, to be whatever, I mean, you know. In one of Madeline L'Engle's books, she has an interesting statement as she learned from a Russian Orthodox priest. He said to her, I'm completely baffled when people ask me to intercede for people in their suffering because it does so much good for their souls. For out of that which is negative comes the positive. We have a choice. We either become bitter or we become better. And so as we face life's traumas, and you can name them, one thing we can be guaranteed, that one who has been there before is not giving up on us. I miss the old creed, descended to hell, instead of to the dead. Because in my counseling, I could say, when people said, "Pastor, my life's hell right now," I said, "Oh, that's interesting. Jesus has been there." "What? You went to hell?" "He went to hell 3 days before he resurrected." He knows the worst for me would be to say life is hell. The best would be to say it's godly as heaven. Because that's where God is, and hell is, or he isn't, although he visited there. Yeah. He's been there. So my poem today is called "He's Been There." Some are knocked down and never get up. They play the poor me, everyone else has it better game. The story of the one who complained about sore feet until he met one with no feet never sunk into them. Life, no matter the ailments, offers celebrations, small or large. The Evite is in our inbox, yet some prefer the pity party. Trauma, loss, injustice, betrayal happen and make us stronger in the Lord, or a stranger to the Lord. Our choice, become bitter or better when hit with pains or pangs in life. We hang on to the one who chose his disciples, not vice versa, and the same is true of us. Hungry or homeless, he's been there. Dependent on others, feeling abandoned or misunderstood, he's been there. Have days heavenly, others hell, he's been there. God did not give the only Son to make lives easier. God sent his Son to give us an Easter. When you go home, print out the word "easier." Print, don't write, okay? Easier. We always want the word "easier." Change that "I" and draw up and go like that. Now he gave us an Easter. Amen.